Welcome back to the Lost Dot 101 podcast, supported by our race partners, Albion and Ride With GPS.
And welcome to Portugal!
We're on day two of the race now. The front riders already well into Portugal and into the meat of the race, heading to control point two at Linhares. It's been a pretty biblical and uncomfortable start to the race, with huge downpours, cold nights, and warm, humid days. In Bragança, Sophie stopped at an ultracyclist's church, Lidl, where the rain was coming down hard again, but the pastel de natas, peanut butter cups, and chocolate milk were cheap and ready for resupply.
Food, 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 food. On day two, no riders out there would trade a Lidl resupply stop or a good old Big Mac at McDonald's for a 5-star Michelin restaurant. At this point, carb loading does not need to be fancy. Most riders said, although that resupply was actually fairly easy, the real challenge is being able to keep eating.
Here's a pretty soaked Cap 23, Emma Young, stocking up on all the basic food groups.
Yeah. I wouldn't choose to go out in these conditions in Scotland. I wanted to get to the checkpoint last night, but I was just, like, literally it felt like I was in a shower. The rain that came, and I was just like, it was literally, I was going downhill, and it was so heavy that I could hardly see.
And we are in the Lidl, waiting to pay, and...
and I'm hungry.
And you're hungry.
No, I've been dreaming of Lidl since the start. I've been imagining Lidl bakeries. If I'm going to Lidl, I'm going to buy pastries and chocolate milk and, yeah, it's food.
Are reading
that? And then I'll go to the checkpoint and then I'll keep riding until it gets dark. And then I'll figure it out.
Can you give me your full name and your cap number, please?
I'm 73 and it's Katharina Zerlaut.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I just left the hotel and now I did some shopping.
At Lidl, and best place
now
in town?
I can't get my head around to get wet again.
Yeah. Can you explain us the situation here?
Well, it's raining quite heavily, but I'm hoping it's just it's like yesterday we had all these scattered rain showers quite heavily, and then there was sun again, so rain, sun, rain, sun. So I'm waiting for the sun now, and I think it's getting better now.
You're really optimistic, it's good.
No, I have to be, no? Otherwise I wouldn't even start. I bivied the first night and it was very wet and very cold. And I only napped like a little bit. And so I was like, no way, I need a hotel. Yeah. I need to get dry.
Cap 6, Annie Aspen, was waiting to resupply with the finest that the Golden Arches could offer.
So, did you go to McDonald's?
So McDonald's opens at 10. I know that I'm struggling to eat, and I think that's, I'm going to get 5 burgers or 20 hash browns, all the chips, and I'm going to stuff it in my face, put it in all my pockets, and I'm going to get through to checkpoint 2 today, tonight, tomorrow morning. I've got a bed there, so I've got to get it. I've paid money, so yeah, but I'm good, just need to eat some decent food.
Control point 1 was preparing to close as its cut-off time of 2 p.m. approached. The cut-off times at each control point are the time limit for riders wanting to place in the GC, or general classification, and finishing time for the finishers party in Cordoba. The many who don't make the cut-off times can still stamp their brevet cards at the control point and continue on the route for a confirmed finishing place on the event. A huge achievement for any cyclist. A GC place is known as finishing with honours. Riders who were arriving in time to remain on GC were sounding pretty chuffed.
I'm glad to see you smiling.
Yeah, because I made it on time. That means I can still qualify for the general classification if I get through the rest on time. But
did you knew you could do it? No. Being on time at CP1.
I hope so. Yeah. But no, I didn't. I mainly concerned about the finish, because to get to the finish on time, I have to be here on time or it wouldn't work. So, yeah, I just sort of ignored the cutoff times in between and was just thinking about the last cutoff time until, I think, yesterday evening. And I was like, okay, I'm not allowed to have a mechanical in the morning, or I need to get up very, very early. But I managed, and
well done.
I hope the next cutoff time is okay. I don't even know exactly what time, but I'll just continue cycling and hopefully it will work out.
Good, yes. I think that's the best spirit, Lee. Oh. My last question would be, can you give me your full name and your cap number,
please? Oh, yes, I'm Alice Rose Williams and I'm cap number 4.
That's a great number.
Thank you very much.
Woo. Okay.
Yeah. I'm so happy to see all of you.
Let's get your cards stuck first.
Yeah. Cap 99, Jenny Price.
Thank you.
From near, I live in Worcestershire in the UK. And I entered Lost Up 101 after being inspired by my friend Liz, who did the TCR last year. She was one of the 100 women camp, yes, a bursary rider.
Yes, yeah.
And I watched her and I thought, oh my gosh, that is amazing. And I thought, I'm not sure I could do TCR. And then when 101 came, I was like, oh my, I've got to give it a go. So I'm so happy to be here.
I see you taking a picture of your bursary card.
Oh yes. Because everybody at home, they're sending just lovely messages, and they might want to see the evidence.
They didn't think you could do it?
They thought I could do it. They were just rooting for me to support me to carry on to make it. So
it's nice to be you on your own route, but there is like a whole support group out there. It's important, no?
Absolutely, yes. And I sent them a little video this morning when I knew I could get here, to say, right, the game is on, I'm going to do it. So, yeah, so, so happy to be here.
Christina Holst, Cap 124, arrived at CP1, having had to retrace her ride back to part of the start parkour after accidentally leaving its mandatory route a little bit too soon. Having now fully ridden the parkour, she was relieved, but also surprisingly relaxed about a lot of extra climbing.
Yes, I have all the time today.
Really?
Why? Because I was already in Frejach and came back now. Yes, for some reason I found out that my Wahoo, well, I actually think it's a technical difficulty. My when I originally planned the route, I once had the end point of the parkour as the end point of my track. But I changed it very many times, and it was a month ago. But I don't think it synchronized correctly. For something like this to happen at some point, and I want to know how I deal with it. This is also a reason why I'm participating.
Further along the route, at the snowy peak of Parkour B, Aflin updates us on what's happening on the front of the race.
So I'm here in Linhares where checkpoint 2 is. It's a very, very still and quiet morning. None of the riders have come through so far since Anna Richter came through at about 10:45 last night. It's a really sleepy little town. I can just hear the sounds of the starlings and the swifts and swallows who are kind of nesting under the arches of all the roofs of the cobbled streets here. It's very still, and our volunteers have had a nice slow start to the day while we watch the next dots to arrive. Nikki is on her way soon, followed by Amrai and Elise and a few others.
Shortly afterwards, a very, very cold Nikki Shaw rolled into Linhares.
Savage night.
Did you stay out?
I slept for about an hour.
Outside?
Like undercover.
Okay.
And then it just rained the whole night. Oh,
wow.
It's been freezing cold.
How long have you been riding for this morning?
Half 12, I think. 1 o'clock.
Okay. Are you still on your schedule?
It's just been so slow going, honestly. Like, my average speed, I was going so slow last night. So, there's not much you can do about that.
Mm.
Yes.
The roads are just so sketchy, just because there's so much water on them. So I was just taking it really steady.
Right. Your phone all right?
No, it's not working.
So. I'll stop asking you.
I have no idea. How many people have been here?
One.
Hmm?
One rider.
One?
Yeah. Is that right? Yeah.
How does that feel? Not knowing.
A bit disconnected.
As the day wears on, we're getting closer and closer to 2 p.m, the dreaded cut-off time for GC at CP1 in Braganza. Some riders do make it just in time before cut-off. Here's Cap 121, Kristen Song.
Well then, Kristen, so 26 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got it.
I made it.
Absolutely. Made it with time in hand.
Yes.
Were you always planning to arrive just in time?
No. My goal is to arrive yesterday, so. But, you know, shit happens.
And what happened then?
Shit.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Would you care being a bit more precise?
Oh, no, literally. My stomach.
But yeah, you made it.
I did.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We'll see if I make it to the next one on time, but, you know, one...
One at a time.
Yes.
But you're in good spirit.
Yes. I'm happy to have made it.
Yes. Congratulations.
Yes.
I mean, who needs to be in advance, huh? 26 minutes. Plenty time.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's about enough time to go and get a coffee, isn't it? Yeah.
Gabby Preto, Cap 83, just pipped it in with 11 minutes to go and running on adrenaline.
Yeah. What's your cap number?
It's 83.
You're all right.
Yeah, I almost scratched this morning. And then I was talking to friends and family and they were pushing me on them. And then Google Maps said that I was going to be here 15 minutes before the checkpoint closes. And yeah.
21 minutes.
And here I am. And it was incredibly hard to climb, but I was just pushing and pushing. And my friends were stopwatching me at the same time.
Is it important to have like a support behind you?
It's also so nice to know that there's so many others of us out there. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
I mean, you've cycled 300k, a lot of climbing, but how is the mind?
The mind is fine, actually.
Thank you.
And my mind is like super good. Like I'm so able to continue in my mind, but it's just my body that's not functioning well. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But first, I need a pizza or something.
And then see from there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, congratulations. You have your stamp on your bravery card.
We've been super lucky to not only attract an incredible and diverse field of Flinter cyclists for the 101 this year, but also to have folks from the community join our pool of volunteers, welcoming riders into control points, and for many, being the face and presence of the race. Here's volunteer Nicola at Braganza. There was a lot of background noise in this recording, so there's some slightly unfortunate processing on their voice to make things clearer. But I thought it was important to include what they said.
Hi, Nicola. So you are a volunteer at CP1?
Yes, I've been volunteering at CP1. It was a really hard decision not to do the race, but since I had decided not to do it, that volunteering would be a really nice way to meet the community and give back a little. And it's complicated, but I like to think that I know that there was some trans and non-binary riders, and as a non-binary trans feminine person myself, I like to think that maybe when they arrived at the checkpoint and saw somebody like them, it helps the morale a little bit, and it helps like understand the collective spirit and solidarity that goes into putting on a race like this. If you don't like cry a little bit during an ultra, you're doing something wrong. But also I cried a little bit volunteering because I was just like, wow, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
And even like before the race, I was talking to Tana a little bit about like trans medical essentialism is like really contentious, and like critics of trans and non-binary people think that we don't think about it, but we do. Like I was so concerned about like, I've only been doing my medical transition for like 9 months, and like just before I started, my 1 hour of power was like 4.7 watts per kilogram. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm obsessing over like, is it fair for me to go do this race? Mm-hmm. It actually helps me in the way that Voss thought. This is like, however you identify is how we'll accept you and come and race your bike. I think seeing that in person, I was like, okay, I can do this next year. I don't need to feel guilty or bad. It was nice to see.
When the inevitable 2 p.m. cutoff time came at CP1, our volunteer Adam was feeling empathy and determination for the riders yet to arrive.
Okay, so it's 1400 CEST at CP1. What does it mean?
It means that CP1 is now closed. We've had 111 riders through. Our last rider was cap number 83, Gabriella Preto, and she had 19 minutes to spare.
So what's going on for the riders out there? They're going to keep on going and go for a finish?
Yeah, hopefully. I think hopefully we're going to leave the stamp at reception here so that if riders still come through, they can stamp their card so they've got that as a memento. And yeah, hopefully they'll carry on and we'll see them at the finish.
Yeah, that's the message you've said to all the riders. Not really as a question, but more like an order, no?
Absolutely an order. If I'm going down to the finish, then they've got to. Yeah, absolutely. See you there.
The first rider to come through CP1 after cutoff was Cap 113, Hannah Richardson, who was just 11 minutes behind time.
Well, it's a running joke in my family that I'm half an hour late to everything, so they'll be thrilled to know that I've kept it up on a race day. I think it is about half an hour, is it later than that?
11 minutes.
11 minutes.
So you're actually early.
That's actually so annoying. I wish you'd just said half an hour.
What's your plan then? We'll keep going. It'll be fine.
I think I've realised that I like riding my bike for riding my bike, and I'm not sure that racing is my jam, but we're only 11 minutes late, so I'd say that as a win.
The next rider in after cutoff was Billy Wilcox-Brook, Cap 61, who'd really struggled with sickness earlier in the race and was feeling tired, a bit emotional, but determined to carry on.
So you've missed the cutoff.
I know. Very aware.
But we can give you a stamp regardless, if you'd like.
Do I still get a stamp?
And I think you can be proud of yourself.
Yeah, I genuinely didn't expect to feel... Yeah, that's emotional about it. I thought I was fine with it. Because there were lots of times this morning where I didn't think I was going to make it. But, yeah, it's fine. We're here. That's the main thing. And now to work out what's next. The main thing is that because it turns out none of my stuff is waterproof, and, yeah, make sure I don't repeat first night activities, I need to try and find something that is waterproof. Otherwise, I just... Yeah, if the weather stays like this, I won't be able to keep getting.
Go get that stamp.
Thank you.
And see you at the finisher, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
It's 2 p.m. now and we are leaving the CP1 because it's just closed. We were talking with Sam, the photographer in control car number 2, and she was saying that she wanted an office job now because it's been really hard the last half an hour as three riders came, but not in time to make it on time, but they are now out of GC and it's really hard as the media team we are not allowed to show it, but we really care about the riders, we get attached to them, and it's hard to then disappoint, like they don't, especially after they've done like a massive effort to get there, and missing it by like a few minutes is really really frustrating. But they're going to keep on going because they can still get the finish. And they can still make it on time, hopefully, for the finisher party as we're going to dance there.
We rejoin Athlin further south at the head of the race on the high, cold and windy third parkour, Parkour B.
So we are up at the top of Parkour B right now. And after hundreds and hundreds of miles of kind of dipping in and out of valleys as riders have traversed from Spain and into Portugal, this is the first time that the route has reached the mountains, and it's really quite incredible up here. We're at about 2,000 metres, and we have just seen Nikki nearing the top of the climb with Amrai hot on her heels. Not sure that Nikki knows that she's been so closely followed because her phone's broken, so we know she's not been checking the tracker. But yeah, they're soon going to be reaching the top and hopefully have some warm layers to see them on the way down, because it's going to be quite a chilly descent. Yeah, nearing the top of the hill, as expected, we just saw Amrei overtaking Nikki. They had a nice little chat as they passed one another in true competitive spirit. Yeah, they were just kind of checking in and saying hello after having not really seen each other for the last couple of days on the route. So we will see what happens on the descent.
Here are Andrew and Sophie having a little Attenborough moment up on the top of the Douro.
Can you tell us what you see?
We're sitting on a big boulder, looking over the Douro River Valley. And beneath us, there's about 5 huge vultures circling. And there's more off in the distance. We've probably seen about 30 or 40 just in the last 5 minutes.
And this is the beginning of them, right?
Yeah, the parkour starts down a little gravel track. And riders don't have to walk to the viewpoint right at the end, but those who do will probably think it was worth it.
When they got onto Parkour 2, Sophie caught up with Cap 33, Tasha Kim from New York, who was pushing forward up the climb, but had some thoughts on racing the 101 her own way.
Speaking of learning, did you learn something since the beginning of the race?
Oh my God, so much.
So what did you learn?
I think I've learned that I'm more capable, and if there's something holding me back, it's probably mental, not physical. Like, I felt fine physically. Most of my struggles have been mental.
You said you have a coach, so you've been physically training for the 101?
Yeah, I've been training for maybe 5 months now.
And so you were physically prepared, but you say that mentally you feel like... Do you think you could get prepared mentally next time?
I think it's just different when you're really out here. I've never ridden through the night before. I only slept 1 hour on the first night.
Yeah, and you also have to learn what is good for you. We are all looking at what other people are doing, but actually maybe an hour of sleep is enough for you, but it might not be.
It's not. But one of my mantras for the race, I thought of some mantras beforehand, is ride your race. So I've been trying to ride my race, and I listened to a lot of podcasts beforehand to get advice from people who have done this, so I feel like I'm riding my race, but with the foundation of experience from other people.
Time for the recap of the day. At control car number 2, we spent the morning at CP1 welcoming the flow of riders coming in. For many of them, it felt like they had been fighting for hours just to make it on time, with their eyes fixed on CP1 for so long. And after that, things became much harder. The first rider missing the cutoff was really difficult to witness. It feels especially cruel to arrive only 11 minutes too late. It's basically the polite lateness you allow yourself when arriving at a dinner party, but rules are rules. Witnessing disappointments of being out of the GC is hard, but they can still get their brevet card stamped at the checkpoints and can still go get the finish. So not being in a rush sometimes is also nice. So party pace now. See you at the finisher party. After that, we headed onto Parkour 2, where riders were finally enjoying some far too rare sunlight.
Where is she being, Serene? And who am I? That's not a secret I'll never tell. You know you love me. XOXO.
Gossip Girl moment. On the internet today, lots of brevet cards got stamped, and honestly, that was beautiful to see. CP1 checked, now chapter 2 begins. But we also noticed a lot of flour attached to Amro bars out there. A little tricks coming from Sophie Mungerstader, a former TCR rider who used to pick up a flower every day to decorate her Amro bars and bring a bit of her contagious positivity into the race. Many riders here told us they were inspired to come because of incredible Flinta riders they could look up to. And some of those inspiring riders are actually here on the road today. And the good news is that every single one of our riders will probably go home and inspire someone else. That's how we create a movement, and that's how the Lost Dot 101 was born. Fashion moment.
Unlock the door, lower the blinds, light up the smoke machine, and put on your heels because I know exactly what we need.
What did we see today on the catwalk? Inca Cap 46 clearly mastered the art of visibility, choosing a full fluorescent yellow outfit made of a close-fitting jacket, matching tights, yellow shoes and overshoes, all perfectly coordinate with the color of her hair.
I don't know much about clothes, but my hair looks fierce.
It is a design choice we have seen quite regularly out there, and honestly, we are very grateful for it because being visible on the road is important. Yes, we love fashion, but sometimes haute couture is not necessarily the answer, and it's also perfectly okay to go for ready-to-wear. We would not want to be too snobbish about it. And that is exactly what Karen Winfield Cap 85 did with these beautiful orange industrial gloves bought at a Repsol gas station for 5 euros.
O-P-U-L-E-N-C-E, opulent.
You've got to do what you've got to do to keep your hands warm. At the end of day two, we have a total of 111 riders who made it at CP1 on time, and 30 of them are already in CP2. We have a very low rate of scratches, only 14 due to mechanic or illness, which means 19 riders out there are on their way to get a finish. Enjoy! Tomorrow in Control Car 2, we move forward into the race, collecting more stories from the incredible humans. Tomorrow in Control Car 2, we move forward into the race, collecting more story from the incredible humans being out there. Keep up the good work. It's a pleasure to see your thoughts moving. Don't be late for the finisher party. Good night and good ride, everyone.